things for us. It's good to see everybody this morning. We are in 1 John chapter 1. Two, actually. Finished one last week. 1 John chapter 2. As we continue on in our study, this unique series, we are reminded that there are a few things that are unique about our relationship with Jesus Christ. And because of that relationship, we do have this unique relationship. And there is also a unique love. There is a unique life. There is a unique unity that is within the body because of that relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. And so today, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 2, the first six verses, and we're going to work our way through what we would commonly call a courtroom scene, because John is giving us some instruction here about that individual, Jesus Christ, who stands in the gap for us. He is the one who speaks to the Father on our behalf. And so this morning, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we want to be challenged that way. And so let's read those first six verses this morning, and then we'll move on. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you for the privilege and honor that you've given us to gather together to worship you. And Father, I pray that this morning as we open the word, that you might challenge our hearts, that you might speak to our hearts. The challenge is here in your word. And Father, I just pray that you may be seen this morning, that you may be heard this morning, and I pray that you may be glorified this morning. Father, I thank you for your faithfulness to us. I thank you for all that you've done through your Son. We love you, Father. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Alistair Begg, as he preaches, the one thing he says is that we need to keep the plain main and the main plain. And we could go in and we could spend a lot of time parsing verbs and talking about theology here today, but the truth is, the message that John is giving to us this morning is quite simple. And it's quite a challenge to us as we look at this passage of Scripture on how we are to act as believers in Jesus Christ, how we are to live as believers in Jesus Christ. The Christian life is not complicated. Living it out is tough. But the Christian life is not complicated. John tells us that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to walk like Jesus did. Okay, we could end it right there today. All of us have sinned. All of us have an advocate who speaks to the Father in our defense. Jesus Christ is our atoning sacrifice. Enough said. Go out and live like Christ lived. Okay? So we can go to our ABFs right now. Plenty of time for our teachers this morning. But let's look at this passage of Scripture. I won't let you off that easy. John is speaking as a father to the flock. John is speaking to his church as a father. So today it's appropriate that we are celebrating Father's Day, and here is John talking to those that he calls his little children. And it's amazing throughout Scripture, and it's probably not amazing, but as you think about Paul speaking to Timothy, his dear son, there is this relationship that is there as father to son, as a spiritual leader to that one or those who have come to know Christ under that particular preacher's ministry, and as he's nurtured them, and as he has grown them, and as he has helped them to develop in their walk with Christ, there is this intimate personal relationship and this bond that is there, like a father raising his children and seeking to teach him the truth, or them the truth of the Word of God, and how that plays out in their lives on a daily basis. And as fathers, we try to live that example in front of our children to the best of our ability through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so this morning, we sort of get an intimate look into John's relationship with those in that church, or those churches that he is writing to. He's writing specifically to a group of individuals that he has had an opportunity to have an intimate relationship with, to speak into their lives, to challenge their lives. And this morning, we get a little glimpse into that relationship. But also, my prayer is, as I've been challenged in my heart, that we might be challenged to a deeper walk with Christ and a deeper understanding of His Word and the challenge of His Word this morning. So John writes to his little children, "I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin, but if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." So John starts off with identifying our lawyer, if we want to look at it that way. He is that advocate who stands in our place. He is the one who speaks to the Father in our defense. Because we know that we have an accuser, don't we? We know that we have one who is alive and well and at work. We know that we have one who does not want us to live the kind of life that God would want us to live through His Word. Paul tells Timothy, you better beware if you choose to live a godly life, because Satan is going to beat you soundly. Because the one thing he doesn't want are Christians who are committed to the cause of Christ and living as God would want them to live. Satan leaves us alone if we're not effective in our walk with Christ. It's when we start doing something for God, when we start living for God and we're serious about a relationship with Jesus Christ, we are going to be attacked. And we are going to be beaten soundly. We need to be aware. But John tells us here that we have an advocate. We have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. He says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Is John talking about sinless perfection? No way. Basically, what John is saying is this. I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin, and we all do. We all do. We all sin, don't we? And we have an accuser that is standing before the Father, or however this works, accusing us of our sin. Look at him. Look at her. Look at what he just did. How could he be a follower of you if he just, or she just, and it goes on and on and on. But what is John writing this passage? What is he writing that first verse for? Well, it takes us back to verse 9 of chapter 1, where John tells us that if we confess our sins, we have a faithful one and a just one who forgives us of all of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Now that is an amazing truth, isn't it? Amen. We no longer stand condemned because of past sin. When we get serious about our relationship with Jesus Christ, and we get serious about examining our lives, and when we are challenged by sin in our lives, and we confess that, and we repent, and we turn from it, we have a faithful one and a just one who forgives us of all of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. No longer do we stand in judgment for past sin. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sin from us. Buried in the depths of the deepest sea, he remembers our sin no more as we come in repentance and in confession and lay that at his feet, asking for God to cleanse us. As we looked at the passage of Scripture last week in verse 7, where it says that the blood of Christ cleanses us from every stain. But what does Satan want to do? He wants to continue to dig it up. He wants to continue to throw darts. He wants to continue to discourage us. He wants to continue to drag us down, to live in the past, to live with the guilt of past sin. Because at that point, we're ineffective in our walk with Christ. And whether that's as individuals, whether that is as a church, we need to get that behind us, don't we? We need to set it behind us. We need to look forward. We need to press forward. And we need God to allow his Spirit to work in us and to motivate us and move us in the direction that he wants us to go. As we were talking about the church, we said that only the church can do what God intends for the church to do. Seems redundant, but that's the truth. God has ordained the church to be his witnesses in a lost and dying world. And if we continue to live in the past, if we continue to live in the guilt of our sin and the shame of our sin, we go nowhere. And Satan uses people, Satan uses circumstances, Satan uses a lot of things to continue to pull us in a direction that God doesn't want us to go. Oh, that we might be reminded of this today. What a challenge this is for us today. He is that one who speaks to the Father in our defense. Can you imagine that defense lawyer? Okay? So-and-so did this today, covered by the blood. So-and-so did this today, covered by the blood. So-and-so did this today, covered by the blood. Sanctification is an amazing thing. When we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, I think we've used this illustration before. If you have vertical lines on either end of the page, put a horizontal line across the bottom. When we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we have a position because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. At the moment that we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, our sins are covered by the blood of Christ. And when God looks at us, he sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ, whole and complete. We are now children of the King. We are now joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And John is talking in this realm right here. Are we ever going to reach sinless perfection? Not until we reach our full potential. And that is the day that we are taken home to stand in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And at that point, we are whole and complete, free from the limitations of this body, the temptations of this mind, and free from sin. That's our potential. And we are in this process in the middle. And this process in the middle is our daily life. And we need to be making progress in our daily life. We need to be living the life that God has called us to live. We need to be aware of sin in our lives. We need to be confessing sin in our lives. Because we have an advocate who is a faithful one and a just one, who forgives us of all of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And we no longer stand in judgment. Praise God. So we have an advocate who speaks to the Father in our defense. John also answers the question in verse 10 of chapter 1. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. What is he saying? All of us have sinned. Paul tells us the same thing, doesn't he? All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is no exception in all. No exception in all. And if all means all here, it means the whole world later. Christ died for the sins of the whole world, didn't he?
Amen.
Okay. So John answers that question in verse 10. All of us have sinned. Nobody can say, I have not sinned. Nobody can say, I have not sinned. And so what John is saying, instead of saying I have no sin, I need to acknowledge my sin. I need to recognize sin as what it is, and that there is a solution, and that solution is the person of Jesus Christ. His death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection. You see, that's the great truth of the Word. That's the great truth of the relationship that we have with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. The gospel is quite plain. And the gospel is simple, isn't it? We recognize that we're sinners, that we're lost, that we're separated from God. Because of that sin, we face eternal judgment, punishment, hell. Without someone to stand in the gap for us, we are never going to be good enough to enter into heaven. And God said, and while we were yet sinners, I'm going to send my Son to die on the cross for your sins. I am going to be that one. I'm going to send that one who is going to stand in the gap for you. I am going to send that one who is going to be that sacrifice. Now, verse 2, John goes on to speak to that event. It's John's continuation of basically his Christology. John continues on in verse 2 of chapter 1 with his Christology. We are still in Christ being our lawyer. He can stand in the gap. Hebrews tells us, the book of Hebrews tells us, that we have a high priest who knows everything that we go through on a daily basis. He knows the temptations. He knows the struggles. He knows the hurt. He knows the pain. He knows the difficulty of this life because he lived that for us. And now he can speak to the Father in our defense because he has lived it. There's a whole lot more to somebody speaking for us when they've walked that same path that we've walked. And Christ did. And so, as John continues on in this Christology or this understanding and putting together the theology of who Christ is in his writings, it becomes evident that Christ is the answer for our sins. He is the atoning sacrifice. He is the propitiation for our sins, as some translations tell us. And what does that word mean? Basically, it means to cover or to remove the offense of sin. And John is alluding back to the sacrificial system. And we understand the Old Testament sacrificial system as we understand that as an individual sinned, there was a certain sacrifice that needed to be brought to the temple to cover that sin. And as that sacrifice was brought and presented to the priest, it was sacrificed on behalf of that individual who had sinned. And as the blood of that animal was shed, it covered that individual's sin. And the same is true in the point that John is making about who Jesus Christ is. He is that sacrificial lamb. He is the one who came and covered our sins as he gave his life for us on the cross. As he shed his blood for us on the cross. Is this a daily thing that we need to do? Is it a daily event that happens in our lives? Well, the confession of sin is, but the death of Christ on the cross is a one-time deal. That one sacrifice is sufficient to cover all of our sins, not only ours, but the sins of the whole world. And John reminds us of that. He is the one who is speaking to the Father on our behalf. He is that advocate who is standing in the gap for us. We need to be reminded of that. We need to be reminded daily of that because Satan seeks to attack us. So that is Christ, our lawyer. Okay, we move on to verses 3 and 4 and we look at our defense. What defense do we have? There isn't much. Okay, there's one of two ways that we could respond, as John has told us. Either we respond, I haven't sinned, or we say, I'm a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior. Okay, two ways. Verse 3, let's look at verses 3 and 4. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Okay, John is pretty upfront and in your face. If I don't live as God has prescribed for me to live, then I am a liar if I say that I am a believer in Jesus Christ. And we all know that we can come to church and we all know that we can say the right things and we know when to stand up, we know when to sit down, we know the hymns, we can sing the songs, we can even quote Bible verses. But if our lives don't match up with what we profess on Sunday, and we talked about this last week, if our profession doesn't match our practice, we're a liar. There's no beating around the bush here, as John tells it to us, okay? I'm not saying that. The Word of God is telling us that. If that's offensive, I'm sorry, but that's what the Word of God tells us. If your practice doesn't match your profession, you're a liar. Not a lot of amens on that one. But we are identifying with Christ. The identifying mark of a believer in Jesus Christ is that we keep his commands. And what are those commands? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second commandment is just as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? Two commandments. Love God, love others. Those are the commands that we need to keep. Oh, we can go through the Ten Commandments. Well, I haven't murdered anybody this week. I haven't committed adultery. I haven't done this. I haven't done that. I don't have any idols. But did you love God this week? Did you love God this morning? Did you love others this morning? We could say we love God, but if we don't keep his commands, we're liars. We need to be building the unity of this body because we have a unique unity because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. We're all sinners. Again, let me remind us of that just in case you forgot. We're all sinners. We all have our shortcomings. We all have our differences. But that's family, isn't it? That's what family is all about, loving each other with the little idiosyncrasies that we all have and gathering together to worship our Heavenly Father, to serve him, to keep his commands, and to go out and do the work that God has called us to do. And we can spend a lot of time fighting and arguing and bickering and beating each other up here, and Satan is thinking, praise whoever. Because now that church is ineffective. And that church isn't doing what God would want them to do. I've won the victory there. Oh, they're still meeting, and they're still singing, and they're still doing their thing. But you know what? They're just beating each other up. And we need to be aware of that. 2 weeks ago, I got an anonymous letter that if I would share that with that individual, they would be ripped to shreds. Man, if you have an issue with somebody, go to that brother or sister.
Amen.
If there's something that you need to share with somebody, don't write me an anonymous letter, because it's going in the shredder. We're not going to stand for that, okay? Because what that does is it destroys the unity that we're seeking to build through the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So please, let's be brothers and sisters. And let's seek the unity of this body. Let's love God the way we should. Let's love others the way we should. We're to be about building one another up in our walk with Christ. We're to be about helping one another grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And it hurts the heart of God when things like that happen. So please, let's live godly. Okay? Let's live as John is challenging us to live today. If you say that you're a believer in Jesus Christ, let's keep his commandments. Let's love God the way we should love God. Let's love others the way Christ demonstrated we should love others. In the stink, in the mess, in the junk that comes along with being human, we need to love one another. We need to care for one another. John goes on in verse 4. And like I said, we're keeping the plain main and the main plain here. We could dance around this and parse the verbs and parse everything else in here and try and make it sound a little better. But John says this: whoever says I know him but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Straight up, I don't want to be called a liar. I don't want to be considered a liar. I want God's love to be seen through me. I want God's love to be seen as I love him with my whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and as I love others with my whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because we're brothers, and we're in a battle. We are in a spiritual battle, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. So we need to be bound together, and we need to be unified, and we need to be fighting the good fight, and we need to be looking for opportunities. We need to be on the offensive and not on the defensive. We need to be on the offensive for the cause of Christ. So our defense is simple. We could look at our lives and we could say, I'm either loving God with my whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and I'm loving others as God and Christ has given me the example, or I'm talking a good game and I'm a liar. There's not much of a defense there, isn't there? Is there? Are we perfect? No, we're not. And we need to understand that. And we need to encourage one another. And we need to be coming alongside one another. We need to be putting our arms around one another and saying, brother, sister, man, I'm here for you.
Amen.
I've walked those steps. I live that. Let me help you. You pray for me. I'll pray for you. We're going to do this together. We're going to grow together. We're going to be what God wants us to be together. We have one who speaks to the Father on our behalf, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And God has given us one another to walk this life, to encourage one another, and to challenge one another. Our defense is pretty weak. We've got a great lawyer. Our defense in and of ourselves is pretty weak. I'm either keeping the commands or I'm not. My prayer is that my life would reflect the commands that God has given us, loving God, loving others. The last two verses here, we have our response in verses 5 and 6. John writes this, "But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. And by this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way which he walked." Okay? John is not beating around the bush here. He's not trying to dance around the topic. He says, okay, now's the time for a response. How are we going to live? How are we responding to the challenge that John is giving us as John presents it to the churches that he is writing to? What is our response this morning? As we walk away from this, and as we're challenged by this passage of Scripture. Well, John tells us a couple things here. Number one, we need to keep his word. Oh, that I might challenge you to be in the word daily. This fall, what we're going to do is we're going to spend 90 days in the Gospels. And the challenge is going to be that every day you read one chapter of the Gospels. There's 89 chapters, and one day a week, or one day, every day, you read one chapter. And as you read that one chapter, you journal what God has taught you. And we're going to challenge you also, I'm going to challenge you also to find an individual that you can sit down with during the week and say, what have you learned? To challenge one another in that time of study, in that time of looking into God's Word. What did God teach you? 90 days. So that's coming in the fall. We'll have more details on that. But we need to be men and women of the Word, don't we? This is our guidebook. This is our challenge. This is what leads us step by step. This is what leads us day by day. We can't skip a day in the Word of God. And we need to be here. We need to be here. So keep His Word. The only way we know His Word is by being in His Word. Because if we read His Word, you can't interpret what He may have said somewhere. You know, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I'm sure we could have taken this in 100 different directions this morning. But the reality is this is straight up what God is trying to tell us through the Apostle John. Get things straight. Be consistent in your walk. Live out the word. Live out the commands that you know I have given you. Don't look for something new. John says in verse 5, he says, "By this, we may know that we are in Him." There's an intellectual aspect of the Christian life. There is this knowledge that we need to have. The knowledge that our sins are forgiven by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That knowledge that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. There's some of that that is mind. But we know by experience also. As we live out the Christian life together, as we as a church are doing the work and living the truth of His Word. But whoever keeps His Word, in him truly the love of God is made complete or whole. And by this we know that we are in Him. Why? Because we keep His Word. And the love of God is being completed in us. And then we know we are in Christ. Because this is going on, and there's this process, this growth, and this spiritual maturity, and this development in our walk with Christ. Sinlessness? I am sin-free now? No. But I'm becoming more and more aware of sin. I'm confessing that sin. I'm repenting of that sin. I am loving God more. I am loving others more. I know that I have a relationship with God because these things are being manifested in my life, and these things are coming out and being seen in my life. John challenges us to keep his word. Second thing he does in our response is, are we walking like Jesus walked? When people look at us, do they see Christ? Do they look at us or say, I don't think I want to be a Christian because that's no different than the way I'm living now, so why give up my Sunday mornings? Why give up serving if that's what a Christian is? I remember working, I think I shared this, I was working in the factory and a guy came up to me and he said to me, you're a Christian, aren't you? My first response wasn't, yes, I am. My first response was, how do you know that? And he said, you're the first guy that I've ever met that talked about going to church on Sunday and you live that out the rest of your, while you're here at work. That blew me away. People are watching us. People know that we profess Christ. My prayer is that our practice might match up with that. We need to walk like Jesus walked. How did he walk? He walked in loving kindness. He walked with compassion. He walked with caring. He walked seeking out the good of others. He walked and confronted sin. He walked in meekness and humility. And we could go on and on. Are those marks in our lives? Are we walking as Christ walked? Are we living as Christ lived? And this was a hard challenge. This was a hard challenge today on a lot of different levels. But God is good, isn't he? We can walk away today saying, God, you taught me something new. You taught me something about my life. Father, I need to respond. I need to respond. Maybe it's coming forward this morning. Maybe it's you need to confess something to a brother or sister. Wrong attitude, strong words, whatever the case might be. Maybe it's walking across the aisle this morning and making something right. But maybe it's just coming down here and getting right with God and saying, God, I need to follow you. I don't want to be considered a liar anymore. I want to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. Maybe this morning you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And maybe this morning you heard the gospel for the first time, maybe many times. And you say, I need to make that part of my life right. I need to make sure that I'm a child of the King. This morning as we sing our closing hymn or song, Molly and Russ are going to come and lead us. I'm going to ask a couple of our deacons and their wives to be down here in front if you need somebody to pray with. If you need somebody to talk to, if you need to just come and be quiet, we'll allow you to come and just be quiet before the Lord. But let's take this morning seriously. John was pretty upfront and direct. And I pray that we might take his challenge to walk as Jesus walked. Our advocate, that one who stands in the gap for us, pleading our case before our Heavenly Father. Father, we thank you for this morning. What a challenge from your word. Father, I'm so thankful that John didn't mince any words, that he was upfront with us. And I pray, Father, that this morning your heart came through. Father, I love this church. I love these people. Father, I know that you have great things in store for us as a church. Father, I pray that we might be serious about our relationship with you. I pray that we might walk as your Son walked, that we might seek to build the unity of this body, that we might encourage one another toward godliness, that we might be aware of sin in our own lives, and we are so thankful that you have given us your Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and that he stands before you pleading our case. We love you, Father. I pray that we might examine our hearts and our lives this morning, that you might do your work in this body. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.